There's a tremendous amount of high frequency light coming into the circle right now. So let's center in, relax into it. Come to a place of ease. And one thing I have to caution you about is worrying about how you're doing. Worrying about your grounding, how relaxed you are, all of that continues to create more blocks in the energy flow. And all of that comes out of that trauma voice that we left with last night. And so we need to become much more aware of that voice because that voice is old paradigm now. And we don't want to take the new teachings and insert them into the old voice. So an example would be worrying about grounding versus easing into grounding. Worrying about your spiritual development rather than being present. Can you hear the difference in the two and relate to that?
Yes.
So now we can start recognizing that old voice that was conditioned into us and start recognizing the new experience and what help kind of start developing our new language. And that's a big deal. I mean, it's not easy. It's a giant transition to go through. Huge transition. The kind of transition that happens maybe every 12 to 26,000 years. That's how momentous and how big. But if you can start hearing that voice, the old voice, and hearing how you try to find explanations for what you experienced this weekend, or try to understand cognitively what's happening to you spiritually, and you run it through the old program, it's not going to turn out good. So we, without feeling bad, without feeling guilt, without feeling shame, start to become aware of that old voice and gently dropping out of it whenever you can. And if you can't, just even recognizing it is very helpful. It'll eventually take you along the steps that you need to release out of it. And, you know, some things have a really strong grip, and the conditioning has been so repetitive and ingrained that I think it would be reasonable to expect that you would, you know, drop back to that voice and then keep returning to the new one. So I think that during this transitional time, you can expect that kind of experience and not feel bad about it. Is that speaking to some of you?
Yes, because I had something similar, but then a very different change this morning. So last night I did have that kind of vacant feeling. And so, yeah, I felt that pretty deeply. But then this morning, I sat outside and grounded, and I just felt a total different shift. I could feel my connection to the earth, and that idea of universal oneness versus personal merging that came in, and then what Renee had said yesterday about co-forming versus conforming kind of came in, and I kind of felt this like Russian doll nesting where I was connected to the earth, and the earth had its own sovereignty, and it was connected to the sun, and there's a galaxy which has its own sovereignty, and then the greater universe, and was just kind of like, but it all started with me being connected to my own sovereignty in the process.
Yeah, beautiful description. And Mark, being the gardener that you are, contrast and compare how much Mother Earth loves you and what the church thinks of you.
Well, yes. Well, you know what's ironic? I'm doing this retreat. I'm doing this at a retreat house by the Sisters of Humility of Mary, which is kind of ironic, but at the same time, it's like it was a space available to like get away and do this personally. So it's like I've got this contrast here too, but they are actually a very deeply rooted in feminine theology too, which is really nice.
Great.
But yeah, I agree with you about being a gardener and being connected to the earth, and I definitely am looking at being more connected intuitively to my garden this year.
Well, she loves you for what you've done with the gardening. But and I just am pointing out you were raised in a particularly Catholic upbringing. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
very caustic, very, very painful, really, and very controlling. And it's taken years to unravel some of that. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, how about anyone else?
Hi Sarah, it's Lakshmi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for what you said earlier about not worrying. I think I did need to hear that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, along, I was just going to say, along with many others, not just you, but that's what I was going to say.
And I know yesterday, like Russell was saying, when you mentioned soul retrieval, and I have to say, I felt so unqualified at the point to be in the group. And that has been a little bit nagging at me all day yesterday. So just hearing you today mention that, it kind of reminded me that I'm putting this on myself, feeling.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so now you're starting to recognize that voice, right? The voice,
Yes.
yes.
It's my voice. I hadn't realized that
And
it's a
it's
shift.
your voice that you've been trained into. Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm glad you're recognizing it now. Good.
Thank you. This
Yeah,
is.
I'm just going to say it. This is a big deal to be able to hear this, to hear this, the old voice and the new voice. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ananda, and it was so nice to hear that because I had this lovely sleep and I woke up feeling very, very happy. And I sat down to meditate and just had a really unsuccessful experience of I guess I was just agitated because I was in my mind, and I'd go down to seat and feet, and I'm back in my mind, and I'm back to the seat and feet, and I did that for like half an hour, and then I'm like, now I'm in a whole mental thing of what is the matter with me, and why, and so it's just nice to hear. It's like, okay, it's just the voice. I don't need to pay attention to it.
Right. And sometimes it's just like that, you know? It just is. So, anyone else? As long as you can just hear the old voice, like just even after what, if it takes you a while to hear it, it's really something we want to start recognizing and feeling the difference between the old energy and the new energy.
Yeah, it was really powerful for me this morning too, because I realized I was sitting there beating up on myself, like, because I'd met some friends last night and I kind of thought, like, well, maybe I should stay home and stay in the retreat energies. And then I'm like, oh, now I'm bringing other stuff into the circle. I was really, really beating myself up. I really appreciate it. I'm like, where in the world did that come from? Oh my gosh. So.
It's yeah, it's so normal. I mean, it's just so normal if you're from the old voice. It's
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah.
Yeah, so it was really, oh, hey, wait, that's old stuff, but it was really great to hear this morning, so I'm glad that you brought it up.
Good. That was one thing I was guided to bring up this morning. It's totally normal, and we really did bring to the foreground the difference between the trauma voice and the new paradigm voice yesterday. So we just got to the edge of that. And being able to slightly discern it, that's another block of heavy energy that we'll be working with today. But I wanted to make sure. And I actually wrote something up about this that I'll put on the class page, because when we go on retreat, and this is really a very deep retreat, we experience beautiful things and they're coming into us and the ceremony is transforming us. And then we need to go back to life. And that's always kind of a bumpy road, and we need extreme patience to allow what happens in these deep states to integrate with our being. And so there will be a tendency to get down on ourselves. Why can't I feel this when I could feel it there? And all the negative self-talk. So the post-retreat experience is important to emphasize too. And I wrote something up that'll be helpful for you to refer to that'll be on the class page. Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, it's Fran.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that is such a relief and so real. And as I've sat here, I realize this has been totally my pattern and my norm. Always monitoring, checking in. How am I doing? How am I doing vis-a-vis my own standards that I've set for myself and my aspirations, or those that the world has set for me? And it was to me always the completely normal, and indeed, what a responsible person did, monitored and adjusted to
to do it better. And I keep thinking of the contrast as being embodied presence. And it is such a relief and a joy, and it's a really big shift for me, certainly. For all of us, all of us.
Yeah, I believe that. I sense that. Yes,
Yeah.
for our whole culture. So thank you. Thanks to the for the beautiful beings and the transformation that's occurring.
Thank you. This monitoring, I would put in the classification of a trauma response too. Now, Renee, I'm going to refer to you a few times because you really are a trauma specialist. Sometimes I'd like to hear your point of view too, and how you might come at this. But I'm at this point, I see the old paradigm as total trauma. That it was enveloped at such a low frequency that almost everything that existed was from trauma. So that persistent monitoring turns out to be a trauma response from the perspective of the new energy. It would have been normal in the old energy, but from the new energy, where ease and presence are predominating, it's a trauma response, permeating our culture. And Renee, do you have anything that you wanted to say about that?
Oh, it's such a big question, isn't it? I agree with what you shared, and I also there's a trauma response that is found in the world of psychotherapy and all of the modalities, like the psychotherapeutic modalities for trauma, that I think come from the trauma itself also. And one example is you've got to watch your thoughts. And the moment you catch a negative thought, and I see this in the whole realm of, people who are, manifesting as their spiritual path. You have to watch your thoughts like a hawk. And the moment you catch a negative thought, if you don't get on that, you're going to create so much negativity in your world. I think that ends up being really harmful. And there's also I just lost my train of thought. It completely left my mind.
Just pause. It's okay.
Completely went away. Oh, I also think that there's a way that we can talk about, and the new paradigm, which isn't trauma-based, and talking like we are already this morning, that oh, that's the language of trauma right there. I think there's a way in which if I say that to certain clients, they're going to think I'm spiritually bypassing, because it has been so embedded in us that we have to work so hard to heal. And I find that that is it's such a resistance that, and I've had it too, that people have to the resistance to letting go and letting go into a process that involves the light. People are so terrified to let go.
And it requires training.
Yeah, it does. And unlearning, it requires a lot of unlearning.
And then people would take that unlearning upon themselves to believe they have to do it all themselves.
And with that, yes, is part of that is the shame of, oh my gosh, I need some help with this. It's that rugged individualism. And I think there's this is the last piece I'll say is I think there is we are such masochists. We have been trained to be these masochists who beat ourselves up. We've got to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, and that has spilled over into so many of the psychotherapeutic modalities around trauma.
It's very true. Thank you. And if you have more to say about that at any time, let us know, okay?
Thank you.
Are we starting to feel a little bit of loosening up around that? It's going to take a bit to unwind that, but the energy coming in with this conversation, along with the high frequency that's beautifully coming in, is going to help us release the grip that that has on us. So, any more insights that are coming to you, and please, you know, it's so beautiful when each person shares and each person benefits from hearing you. So, any more insights about that?
This is Laura, and I think from my experience of my own personal work and holding space for people to do their personal work, it comes down to the core beliefs of not being good enough and not being lovable. And that lack of worthiness all stems from that root of I'm not enough. And what I found for myself is that when I am able to soften and sit with the hot mess of my humanness and be with my broken parts, the parts that feel unlovable, that's the transformation. Holding it all compassionately and tenderly without creating more of a narrative around it.
Just letting that sink in. I think you gave people permission to love their hot mess, Laura.
That is my life's purpose. Yeah, to be able to be full spectrum with it all.
What I've noticed is this permission that I'm allowing myself to let me back up. When you talked about yesterday, when we are in our grounded presence, then the connection with other people, there's still it allows for a rich connection with other people. And so with the challenge I had, especially with the recent trauma with the friend and I, that I was over focused at My heart was so out for them. And this allows me to have the freedom to be that loving heart and to have the compassion and outreach or whatever, but not with the constraint of, oh, am I being in my codependency? Am I being in my ungrounded, scattered energy? So it's given me a lot of peace that both are available in a real authentic way.
You really feel that authenticity, Carolyn.
It's a relief, like not have to throttle back my heart for fear of being, enmeshed or whatever.
Can you feel how beautiful you're sitting in your axis?
I feel so much relief. I've just been crying for like the last 3 or 4 minutes, and I think there's some sadness mixed in there too, but it's like had no idea how much I was still beating up on myself constantly. Such a
It's
relief. Such a relief. Thank you all.
is a persistent background. Can you make it a little louder, Trish, or speak closer? Go ahead. Wait, it's hard to hear you. So, is there a way to make?
Can you hear me now?
A little better.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, are you? What are you using?
Hang on, I'm getting off my headphones.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got
So,
you. Yay.
yeah. Okay, so I'm going to throw a horse of a different color in there.
Okay.
Trish hasn't had a coffee yet, so bear with me while I try to get to my point.
Okay.
For me, I've lived with the trauma for so long that I'm really sick of it and I don't want it. And I kind of live in La La Land, so I like that. So I don't have to really face anything so long as I don't leave the ranch. But as you have spoken about this yesterday and today, Renee will probably come in on this too, I realized how much I don't have trauma anymore. What's anybody talking about? I don't understand. Why are we talking about trauma? I don't have any trauma anymore. Just that mere thought in my head shows, and then my body is reacting like, wait, you can't take off my raincoat. The trauma is the raincoat, and it is snug on me. And I've worn it for so long that it's hard to take it off, to expose the rawness, I guess, of it. So I'm kind of at a loss on how to move forward.
Yes. So we're not trying to take it off. What we're trying to do is build the light within so that it falls off. So taking off the raincoat would be like the old paradigm approach. Here in ceremony and with these higher frequencies, you don't have to take like a psychological approach to it, Trish, or even attend to it. The energies will start filling you up And it goes through cycles until
Yeah.
it just, you know, piece by piece starts to release. So you don't have to rip it off. Okay. And you don't have to think of it in the old psychological perspective. You're in ceremony here, and that'll help bring whatever wants to slough off, slough off. Okay. So keep your raincoat until your raincoat decides it doesn't need to be on you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I was really shocked as I how much disconnect there was between what I thought and what my body was telling me.
That's a great realization. And so we don't want to take that into the old psychological realm, okay? And
Okay.
interfere. But it was great to notice it and to let the mountain help you. I mean, Trish lives at the base of Mount Shasta. So, you know, just let, and that gives me chills just to say that. But let the mountain help you with it. Don't try to pick at it.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay, thank you.
Can put your earphones back in, but when you're going to talk,
Yeah,
take them
well,
off. Okay.
okay, thanks.
Who else is here?
This is Ananda.
I heard your stream first.
This sounds a little ridiculous, but it's very easy for me to be triggered into ecstasy. Okay? And it's been a real shift for me to, instead of focusing on waking up, trying to like, okay, can I wake down into my body? And frankly, it's quite a bit funner dancing around in the ethers compared to coming down into a body with full of aches and pains and problems. And you know, you've had this lodestar experience, Sarah, of so you know where you're going, you know what you're connecting with. But it gave me quite a bit of compassion for addiction that I had never realized before, of the choices between feeling no pain or feeling pain. That's kind of a no-brainer. People choose no pain. And it's just it sounds silly to say my problem is too much bliss, but it is kind of dissociative in that I am not in my body, and that's been a definitely a creaky gate experience to come back in, and I'm still prone to flying out at the drop of a hat or to vision of beauty.
I'm like that too, Ananda. So your comment is exactly parallel with Trisha's comment. Coming from the same old paradigm perspective, that you have to take it upon yourself to do this. And I agree with you about the addiction piece, okay? I mean, I've seen that too. Yeah, you can have a positive addiction. Or a negative addiction, but they're both addictions. It was my uncle that wrote the book Positive Addiction 40 years ago. I want you to hear that it's the other way around. You're not forcing yourself down into the body. You're releasing into Mother Earth. And there's a big difference. And we're going to keep going around this because this is really important. And I want everyone to hear the language. So you have the same kind of language that a parallel language to what Trish said about your raincoat was the bliss. Okay. So the way this works is we gently settle in, kindly, gently. We don't push in. And as we do this, this is a process of moving through density. And it's density that has atrophied and solidified. And we are gently making our way through this density of the physical consciousness. And it doesn't mean that you can't go off in bliss and beauty. But you return to that gentle process without making a construct that says, I have to do this. And you've had enough experience that you know that there's something beneficial to connecting up earth and heaven within you. And we are not only doing that, but we're releasing this old paradigm constriction that we try to put this teaching in. So it's like me trying to work with the algorithms on the computers. I just don't fit into them. I just don't. And when we get into that voice of having to do something and starting to recognize it, it's a very quiet discernment. There's beautiful energy coming into you with this. So can you sense the opening that and softening that you're having?
Yes.
Okay. So now you can hear your true voice rather than the conditioned voice. And I'm watching the nature spirits around you. Oh my God, it's again like being in a Disney movie with the birds and the animals and the trees all coming alive. And so, yeah, sitting down in your sacred space with the beauty that surrounds you and loving it and letting them love you, that might be the part that you forget, will help you sink into it. So can you feel the difference between the old linear constricted thinking and the way you're sensing it now?
I believe so, Sarah.
Oh wait, Marianne.
Yes.
Let me just work with Ananda for a minute here. Ananda, are you still here?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yes, I see.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just reflecting on like Fran's comments about this constant monitoring. That. Oh,
yeah.
What a burden.
Right.
Constant monitoring and interpreting and examining and versus just being.
Right. And going from that monitoring to just being takes practice. It really is a practice, but we've got a lot of support for it. But the grip of the old paradigm is so strong. But the good news is, even since this equinox, there was so much new energy coming into the planetary sphere that it's going to help us. And so if you can start recognizing that monitor, let's just call it, okay? And when you hear yourself be that monitor, even if you can't get out of it, just recognizing it, it is a great practice. You're not monitoring the monitor, but just recognizing it. And then you have the possibility of slipping into presence, which you're doing right now. What's your experience now, Ananda?
I know I keep saying this over and over again, but this just feels completely impossible to do on my own. So there's just so much gratitude for, oh, you mean there's help?
Yeah.
The amount of unlearning, like Renee mentioned, the amount of unlearning is, I have, 70 plus years of unlearning, and just, it's I feel hopeless and it's beyond me. And then you keep reminding us we have help. We have help. We have support. It will happen. Just allow.
We're going to have to erase the word just from our vocabulary here, because every time we say just, it's like it diminishes the amount of it diminishes the shift, because it's not just, it's a practice. It really is a practice with support. And I'm just looking at the nature spirits around you, and they're just delightful. But yes, we have to be engaged in ceremony. And I don't say that to keep having everyone enroll in classes and retreats. Please understand, I don't do that. Just keeping this going just takes enrollment. But my true heart is in providing these ceremonial spaces so that we do have support, and that you eventually become so immersed in it yourself that you understand you have it all the time. And yes, I was born with this understanding, and It wasn't articulated till it was actually 20, 21 years old. And yet I still had to make it a reality in my being. I knew it, but I had to make it a reality. And I actually went through hell to make it a reality, doing it without support. I know I've mentioned this before, but I don't know if everyone knows this. But at one point, because of a bad LSD trip, I ended up in a psych ward with electroshock treatments that destroyed my ability to string together words. I had to relearn how to speak. But as I was going through that, I had within me the resolve that they weren't going to take away this inner knowing. And I had to rebuild. And it was a rebuild that my Sufi teacher helped me rebuild. I met him right after that. He helped me for 2 years deep with deep, deep healing. I mean, I spent many years with him. But I was in that destruction of my verbal capacity. I was reconfigured in the new understanding. So I've been in the new paradigm since then. But that was really going through hell. And that's when I switched from being a journalism major who was focused on words to an art major that was focused on images because I didn't have words anymore. And so the whole trajectory, I was editor of my high school newspaper, the literary magazine. I was all words. And it was completely taken away from me. And so in my 20s, it was a period of reconfiguring my being. In the new energies, because it was all taken away.
So you've had the lived experience of what it cost you to try to be a spiritual being and still live in the world. And yeah, it's impressive you were able to recover from that.
It was with a lot of help from Amin. Met him right after that. And that's how he taught me healing. It was by going through it.
See, my lived experience when I had my Satori was that I got to the point where I couldn't speak anymore. I was just doing mudras and hand gestures. So I know that's still lingering in the background, that no, if you just totally let go, you will be dysfunctional in this culture.
You'll be dis you'll this is what the fear is. You'll be dysfunctional, unable to make money, unable to fit in, unable to be responsible, all of that stuff. That's all the conditioning. And it's not a total dropout and a total buy-in. There is that middle place, the middle ground, where heaven and earth come together within you and living within that toroidal field and that axis, light axis. And it allows you to have the resilience and flexibility to work within, to live within the system that we have. So it's not black or white. But that fear, that's part of what we were working with yesterday and what we worked with a couple of sessions ago in the previous New Earth Body series, where we were working with breaking up that huge black solidity energy. That was part of that. We're working with this. We're working energetically with dissolving all that black and white thinking and all the conditioning. And we're doing it in right timing and in a way so that it doesn't re-traumatize. And so I really understand from my own experience how awakening can be traumatizing. And we have trauma from that. Just like Renee said, Renee was afraid to come out as a spiritual person. And yet, and you know, Renee, I've probably said this to the group. Do you want to say it, or should I say it, Renee?
Oh, it was easier to come out as gay. Is that what you're asking me?
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
it was much easier to come out as gay, even though that was challenging, than it has been to come out truly, truly, truly as a light worker and a spiritual person.
Yeah. So if Renee can say that, look at the density that we're working with.
One of Sarah, this is Carolyn.
let's let Ananda finish right here, and then we'll go to Carolyn and Marianne. Okay.
I'm just remembering one of the shocking things from the Costa Rica retreat, and when you said that the spirit guides looked at us and saw zombies, and it was like, oh, dense, petrified, congealed energies. It was a kind of a wonderful wake-up shock to hear that.
Yeah, so we're waking up our true self here, and it's not a simple thing. But everyone here has developed a beautiful foundation and grounding to proceed with this. And Carolyn, what were you going to say?
It's uncomfortable asking this. It's like a request here. I'm noticing like this spasming in my kidney, and then it's like shooting down my leg. And I woke up at 1:11 last night with it happening, and it was happening yesterday during when we were talking doing the trauma work. And so I don't know if it's me just sitting for this long or if it is something that's trapped. That because I keep trying, like grounding, but I don't. So that's my request if you could.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're not letting me look at it. So why don't you get up and walk around? They're blocking me from looking at it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, Marianne, it was so nice to hear your voice. Where
I am here. And now was nodding off and hit the wrong button, I believe. But this has been such an interesting conversation. And I have a sense that I believe it's authentic for me at this point on my path that I look outside at my grandmother tree, and she's just magnificent, really, and still remains that way with all the storms we've been having. And I ask, I ask. I just make a statement like, I'm going to let it be. Oh, grandmother, let it. I want to just be. And I feel comfortable. And to put a lighter tone in a way, I use a milk a creamer for my coffee, and it's called Bliss. And every time I take it out of the refrigerator, I re am reminded by that what that word feels like, and it help it makes my body smile. And the one thing I was going to share, and I'll try to be succinct, is when you asked when we had our aha moment, I never got to post it until I received just the authenticity of it. I felt it again when I was sitting in St. Lucy's Church on a Saturday morning for CCD, for all this, the few people, I was about 8 years old, that didn't go to Catholic schools. So back then it was compulsory that you go to, Christian, Catholic, I can't remember the acronym now, but anyway, CCD it was. And I remember vividly listening to this one nun. We were 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old, saying about sin and going to hell. And I sat there and I thought to myself, which I'm really remembering, that makes no sense to me. I knew saw pictures of Jesus, and his face was kind and loving, and he wouldn't be mean like that. And that's when I just thought, I just don't believe the things they're telling me. At 8 years old, Italian family, all Catholic. But I found that place inside now that I reflect on it, that had that bliss once, I helped release and asked for help in releasing my own personal traumas over the years. I hope that makes sense. It was my aha. And it was so counter conditioning, sitting in that pew. And from that day on, and it was hard, like everyone is expressing. And loving ourselves, loving that bliss that is intrinsic, I believe. Yeah. Thank you for listening to me and letting me ground and find the words. And I know, I feel the joy in knowing this and the other side, I think I am dealing with because the bliss is overwhelming in a beautiful way. All
Thank
right,
you.
Sarah.
It's nice to hear your voice, Marianne.
Talk.
Were you here yesterday?
No, I was looking at Mark's 50 acres,
Yeah.
Russ, and
Okay.
I think I sent you a quick, but I know you get a lot. Yeah, I did not, I wasn't able to get on, no.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Hey, Sarah. It's Russell. Before we change gears, the discussion with Ananda was really beautiful. And what came to me, and you said it, but what came for me was, that state of bliss, or like when we think about like going up, out through the crown and to the cosmos. Well, it's not mutually the counter to grounding down and in. So I just wanted to share with you, Ananda, specifically that, they're not opposites necessarily. And for me, like when I ground down and in those moments when I'm really connected with Mother Earth and really being held to by her and her heart and her womb, it's like that to me has been my greatest sense of bliss. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Know, the message from Mother Earth is always that you were never meant to be here alone. That arriving here, she was ready to hold you and share her body with you and to be family with you. And that is what was erased, deleted. And that's what we're coming back to. And we need ceremony to help us through this transition time. We're at the beginning of a new consciousness, just the very beginning of it. And no one expects you to be right there. Like you might be expected to be in a corporation or in your family. So we can't just unwind these bindings with our mind. It truly takes ceremony. We have to be in a consciousness beyond the consciousness we're in, just like Einstein said. And we're discovering so much more that is showing us the archaic way of being, even from the scientific perspective and the astrophysics perspective. I mean, they're discovering galaxies that they have no idea that they're so different from the galaxies they've ever known about. And that's just going to keep happening. All revelations day by day, also in the medical world. And everywhere we have to be able to adjust to change because it's going to be happening every single day. We're going to be releasing and revealing, releasing and revealing, and releasing and revealing. And so anything that we stay attached to is going to create discomfort. And our ceremonies help us come into that flowing field of awareness and generate safety enough that we can handle the change. Carolyn, how are you doing?
No change, it's still spasming.
Why don't you stand? And did you walk around a little bit?
I did walk around, yeah.
Okay. Why don't you stand?
Okay.
Actually, what I'm seeing is that spasms coming from your lower thoracic, upper lumbar spine. They let me see it now. So there's a twist in the fascia there. So it may be from sitting too much for you. And you might have to do some stretches.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I'm not seeing it as the kidney. I'm seeing it as they're showing it to me as the fascia twisted from the spine. Okay, let's take a deep breath. What else is coming up for this? Why don't we take a 10-minute break? Go walk around a bit. So 10 minutes, come back at 11:20, okay? Okay, I'll give everyone a minute to get back. In the meantime, is there anything you'd like to share?
Morning. This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Since last evening, it's for me, it's just been this ever-evolving revelation. And the anger, trauma, grief, and rage tied up all together in sphere of my being in its different locations, and hearing Trish describe her raincoat and the discussion that came from that, I'm clear that it's a dissolving process and not a ripping out process. So that's helpful.
Wonderful.
And the other discussions really helped to clarify that horizontal community is not the same as vertical community. And the ceremonies of horizontal community, you may have moments of connection, but are not clear as, the spherical community, for lack of a better description. In the moments of reflecting over the times that we've gathered in circle, that dissolving process, and its effectiveness in my life, came into very clear focus. And since last evening, when we finished last evening, and I really do feel a difference being in circle this morning, in that there's, it feels less dense than circle has in the past. More vitalized, maybe that's the word. So that's what I have to share this morning.
Thank you.